Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Absolutely cannot get over that one. Asie Fer Mued Es. And that is a track titled, that is the track title of that one, with Bella bringing us to exactly 10 minutes after 5. It's now time, my family, for us to cross over to some health feature. And we are looking in this feature at endometriosis as we bring awareness of the condition. It's a gynecological condition. And we are chatting this afternoon and absolutely delighted to welcome Dr. Debrain, who's Senior Medical Director of the Genesis Reproductive Center and Head of MediClinic Kloof's Multidisciplinary Endometriosis Unit, to share with us some of his insights as a specialist in this area around endometriosis in our time. It is exactly 10 minutes after 5. That is your time here on Radio Pulpit 657 AM. When we come back from this break, my family, it'll be straight to Dr. Debrain.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life Explained.
Share the love. Share the truth. Share the life on 657 AM.
Dr. Abri Debrain joins us, my family. Dr. Abri, good afternoon to you, sir, and thank you so much for giving us your time.
Good afternoon. It's a big pleasure.
So today's Family Day, and here you are, you know, helping us as a family, you know, to bring awareness to this condition that has really stolen some of the joyous, productive years of some women, you know, and sometimes, you know, has really affected relations and families. Dr. Debrain, share with us exactly what it is that we're looking at when we look at endometriosis.
Well, I just want to say it's not just some women, it's a lot of women. We're talking about millions of women. So it's very prevalent, it's very common. So we must understand that it affects a heck of a lot of women, and it destroys their quality of life. Apart from affecting fertility, apart from other things, it has a huge impact on women's lives. And so what it is, and I know it's a Christian radio show, but and I once said what it is, and then my one colleague phoned me and he said to me, now I have to explain to my daughter what a menstruation is.
So, yeah.
So unfortunately, the good thing is we want to bring awareness. So what happens is when a woman menstruates, the cell is not in the pool. The cells in the lining of the uterus builds up. In preparation for a pregnancy every month, and if you're not pregnant, you have a period. That's a normal cycle. Now, if those cells land inside the pelvis and start growing outside the uterus, that is what the definition of endometriosis is. So those inside cells that usually come out, that start growing. And you're now going to ask me, so, how did they get there?
Yes, thank you, Doc. Thank you so much. That was definitely going to be my next question. And why do they? Why do they lose their direction and go left instead of right?
No. So what I explain to patients, if you take a balloon and you put three holes in a balloon with a needle and you fill it with water, the water's going to come out through all three holes. So those three holes are the cervix and the two tubes. So if your tubes are patent and your uterus contracts, it's natural that the blood will flow through the tubes and land inside the pelvis. And now I'm going to preempt your next question. If this thing happens to all women, why do only some of them get endometriosis?
Yes, dog. Yeah.
So that is the million-dollar question. And if I knew that answer, I would be sitting a cocktail on my own island. We wish we knew what happened. We know that there are some factors that play a role.
Sure.
But that is what happened, and some people that develop independent choices.
Dr. Tabrain, let's maybe look at those factors, you know, because those are risk factors, and sometimes those risk factors are really within our ability to control. Some of them have perhaps not, but let's look at those risk factors. What do those look like?
So there are different theories for the different types of endometriosis, but the factors that play a role is anything that reduces your immunity. So if you smoke, your immunity is suppressed. If you're on any medication for rheumatoid arthritis, or you're on medication for whatever disease that suppresses your immunity, that's going to cause those cells to grow. Some people must remember that there's a 7 times higher genetic link, meaning that if your mother had endometriosis, you have a 7 times higher chance of having endometriosis. And your daughter will have a 7 times higher chance of developing endometriosis.
Sure.
So genetic factors play a huge role. The same as genetic factors play a role in high cholesterol and blood pressure and diabetes. So genetic factors play a huge role. Immune system, things that suppress your immune system. And it's not only the one thing that people do worry about, is they think that it's more prevalent in certain race groups. And I'm preparing a lecture for 10 days from now. When I read the literature yesterday, the literature on the black population is very scarce in South Africa.
Sure.
And in the rest of the world, I don't think that there's any. I can tell you from my data that they are the group with the second highest amount of endometriosis that we see.
Sure, Doc. That is serious. So looking at those risk factors, and perhaps let's contain it to South Africa so that we can speak to context. Looking at those risk factors, are you then able to connect the reasons why endometriosis is reported higher amongst the black African population here in South Africa?
No, but my thoughts in France is seeing that in the black population that comes from North Africa.
Yeah.
So he's now starting to see those patients also with endometriosis. But I think in South Africa, if you want to contain it to South Africa, it's an overlooked disease, because when we are taught at university, if a woman presents with pelvic pain, it's 99.9% pelvic inflammation or pelvic infection. And I can tell you in private practice, in 0.1% that is the fact. So pelvic pain and painful periods are no longer infection as we were taught. We must remember that it can be endometriosis. And then westernization as well. Because if we look at how our diets have changed.
I
ask my patients, where do you buy your food? Most of them buy their food at a certain place. And I say, why do you buy it there? They buy it there because it lasts longer. And then why does it last longer? It lasts longer because there has to be something in the food. Is it the hormones? We know that we don't only eat free-range chickens, we don't only eat free-range eggs and all of that. So we must understand that the whole supply chain of food that we are ingesting is also playing a role, because there are factors that are put in there to also maximize that return on investment.
Sure. Dr. Tabrain is our guest this afternoon. My family, Dr. Audrey Tabrain, joining us on the line. And if you've got any question, perhaps you've got any suspicions that there might be something happening within your ecosystem, your gynecological ecosystem, perhaps for somebody, you know, your family, your friend or daughter, let's please try and see if we can actually get those questions answered all the way to 5:30 this afternoon. 18 after 5 is your time. Let's take a quick sting, my family, to allow you to send us those questions on 0826572729. We want to find out as well when we come back back from Dr. De Bruyne. What are some of the causes, or not just the causes, I beg your pardon, but what then are some of the effects of endometriosis on general women's health? All of that coming up after the break.
Lees jy die woord vir vandag dagstukkies? Ons wil verseker dat jou kopie sy bestemming betyds bereik. Jy kan nou die boekie direk by 'n adres van jou keuse ontvang of per e-pos indien jy verkies. Besoek radiokansel.co.za. Kies jou opsie en dateer jou besonderhede op. Jy kan ook die woord devotional na 37871 stuur en ons sal die lys van opsies aan jou stuur of kontak kliëntediens by 012-334-1257. Standaard tariewe geld.
20 minutes after 5, my family, good afternoon and welcome to you at Spectrum on a Monday afternoon. Doc, thank you so much for standing by. Let me start off before we get into the effects of endometriosis. Let's understand the diagnosis. What does the journey to final diagnosis look like?
Well, in the last 20 years, it's improved from when a patient starts presenting with symptoms until the death and diagnosis was made. 20 years ago, it was 11 years. Currently, we have massively improved that now to 9 years.
9 years.
That is shocking, doctor. That means that patients complain, and it takes 9 years for someone to get to the diagnosis. Because for a few reasons. One, we don't think of endometriosis as a possible cause for the pain.
Right.
And I'll get to what the patients present with. The second thing is that's not what we taught at medical school. The third thing is that we're too scared to make a diagnosis in young girls. We're too scared to say, we need to make a diagnosis if someone is 14 years old. We have to change our mindset. We have to say, right, the fact that you have pain for periods doesn't mean that your daughter's going to have pain for periods. My dad said to me, he drove a bicycle, I'm going to drive a bicycle. But we are now in 2024. We have to change our thoughts. We need to think about endometriosis. So if you have pain for periods, if you have chronic non-menstrual pain, if you have, in older patients that's struggling to conceive, in patients having painful farting of stools, or even patients with painful intercourse, those are your typical symptoms.
Right.
But the problem that you have is that if you're sitting with young girls, if you're sitting with school girls that miss school because of period pain, they miss school. And I must show you the pictures I have of patients burning themselves with warm water bottles with permanent scars. Because it's not a disease that anyone can see. If you break your leg, someone can see it, either skew or it's in a cough.
Sure, that's serious.
But now you have a disease that nobody can see. You cannot see this woman's anguish. You cannot see her pain. You cannot see her discomfort. You cannot. All you see is the amount of pain tablets that she's taking.
Doc, can I just, that's very serious for me. Many, many questions coming up, and I'm just thinking around, the social aspects of what doctors themselves have to go through, looking through the ethical issues, looking through, really just the social element of having to break sad news to a 14, 13, 12-year-old, that's eye-opening for us, I think, certainly for me as a listener, because I'm realizing that it's not always that doctors are happy, to just, break into a diagnosis. You know what I mean? It's quite a process for you as well. That's the first point. And I think the second point is with regards to our receptiveness, our ability to receive certain news, as a society, as a generation, what would you say that looks like, Doc? Does it make the journey to the diagnosis easier or harder?
I think the important thing is that we need to stress that we need to make a diagnosis.
Right.
And there are certain things that we need to do to make a diagnosis. And if you have that diagnosis, it's not a death sentence. It's not a lifelong debilitating sentence.
Right.
It's the thing that says, right, now we know what you have. And the younger we pick it up, the better we can treat it. If I see patients already with stage 4 disease, It's the same as saying, I'm seeing a patient stage 4 cancer, your survival is so much. But if I see you in stage 1, we might cure you. Mm. Now, the same with endometriosis. Now, a young girl is not going to present with stage 4 endometriosis. She's going to have the early stages. And then I'm super excited because we can do proper surgery. Mm. We can remove the disease. But the recurrence rate is 19% in 5 years. Meaning that if I make that diagnosis when she's 14 or 15, mm. when she's 20, she's got an 80% chance of being disease-free still.
Sure.
So we need to make a diagnosis early mm-hmm. because we can treat it properly.
Doc, thank you so much for that. I think it's going to help somebody, you know, who's been looking at these symptoms and thinking, something could be the matter, but we're too scared because we're afraid of the big endo M word, you know, because it's such a big thing when you hear it, endometriosis, because it comes with all of these effects that we are going to get into. Before that, what's the difference, Doc, between PCOS and endometriosis?
Oh, that's like the difference between a hand and a foot. It's completely two diseases. Okay. Endometriosis is when those cells of your uterus grow inside your pelvis.
Mm.
They're actually hidden. PCOS is just a condition in the ovaries where the ovaries have lots of follicles. So, and you skip your period.
Right. So the other one...
not related. It's not linked. It's,
great.
You can have both. Okay. You can have both. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like... You can have a mole and you can have hair loss.
Gotcha.
You can have both, but it doesn't mean anything. It's just two different things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's really helpful, Doc. And I ask this because maybe sometimes the symptoms could be very similar. So I think it's...
No, not at all.
Not at all.
PCOS symptoms and endometriosis symptoms are like day and night. PCOS symptoms, the patients are overweight. Most of the time, they struggle with abnormal hair growth, mm. they struggle with their skin, they struggle with their weight, they have irregular periods. But it's not a painful condition. So PCOS mm. does not cause painful menstruations at all.
Wow. So,
if you have painful periods, don't even worry about PCOS. If you have irregular periods or no periods, then we'll worry about PCOS.
Mm.
But mm. no, two different things.
That is really helpful, Doc. Thank you so much for that clarity. And before we let you go, let's then look at some of the effects then of endometriosis and some of the treatment options that are available.
So the effects mostly is pain mm-hmm. and fertility. Those are the two main things.
Right.
But what we must understand is if we're talking about pain, let's talk about pain, chronic pelvic pain, having pain the whole time, having painful intercourse. Affecting mm-hmm. your relationship,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. And then on the other side, you're struggling to conceive. And why are you struggling to conceive? So what does endometriosis do? Endometriosis causes a toxic environment in the pelvis,
mm-hmm.
which has a negative impact on eggs, on fertilization, on implantation. If it affects your ovaries, it inhibits the quality of your eggs. If it affects your uterus, it plays a role in implantation.
Mm.
If it just causes pain, then it can inhibit intercourse. It can lead to pregnancy. So the fertility side and the pain side, to me, is interwoven completely. And there are some fertility units that say if you have certain stages of endometriosis, you must directly go for IVF. That's not the truth, because you can go for IVF, you'll have a baby, and then you'll still have pain.
Mm-hmm.
So we must also remember that we're dealing with a patient with more than one issue, and we must address both issues.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we treat? That's your question. So the answer is, in young girls, we're going to put them on the pill. And I know there's a lot of mothers falling off their chairs now, thinking that I can't put my girl on the
right,
pill.
Right, I think yes, I'm one of them.
Because the interesting thing is, if we put her on the pill, she's no longer going to have a period. She's just going to have a withdrawal bleed. Why? Because the pill keeps the lining of the uterus thin. So those cells that cause endometriosis don't grow. Mm. So now they still have a monthly bleed, but it doesn't contain any of those cells because the lining doesn't build up. So the best thing, if I can make a call out today, every single girl that starts with a period, within the first 6 months, if she has pain, she goes on the pill, because we're going to protect her from developing endometriosis to a certain extent.
Mm.
So those are things you can do. And then surgery. It's very important. Surgery should not be done by a general practitioner. It should not be, a laser should not be used. We do not burn the endometriosis. We actually literally cut out the disease. Because if you just burn it, you're going to have another laparoscopy in 6 months because the pain's not gone, because nothing was done to it, was not removed. So proper surgery, and then patients with bad endometriosis, the ones that I see, has to be treated in a multidisciplinary unit that does it every single week.
Right.
Because that's big surgery. Now we're talking about jumping from surgery that lasts 10 minutes to surgery that can last up to 6 hours.
Doc, this is really, really eye-opening for us, and I'm sure there's so much more where that came from. I'm sure you are available for consultation. I'm sure there's many other resources that is available. Can you maybe just give us a plug and direct us? Where can we find more information about your services, and of course more information about the disease? A website where we can get in touch with you, maybe?
I am updating the website, my website at the moment, to bring as much information on endometriosis as I can. Mm-hmm. But I am at Medicare Kloof Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but patients must know that if they're going to phone and my receptionist does not help them the next day, it's because there's a lot of other patients that have been waiting a long time. My fiance said to me this morning, she can't understand this, but when I got up this morning, I still only had 2 hands. And that's the problem.
That is the problem. Doc, thank you so much. 31 after 5, my family. We've got Dr. DeBrain joining us on the line. Absolutely eye-opening conversation this afternoon. And we truly appreciate having spent your afternoon, your family day with us this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Big pleasure. Have a good day.
Dr. Adri DeBrain, my family, joining us in this conversation. And man, I really hope that helps somebody sensitize somebody to some of those symptoms that you could be experiencing that you did not know how to locate and how to contextualize. Women's health, the earlier we find out, the better. Let's try and see, my family, if we can help you with your traffic at this time, with our time 32 minutes after 5.
657 traffic.
Busy, busy, busy conditions reported, my family, on the N1 southbound around the Grasmere Toll Plaza. You certainly can expect delays traveling into Gauteng via that toll plaza this afternoon. And look out for a couple of traffic lights not working as you enter Gauteng in and around your in routes. My family, let's please approach those with absolute caution, and let's continue to be vigilant and careful, especially where there are no pointsmen allocated. Look out for normal delays coming into Gauteng, going out of Gauteng, around your toll plazas, and any other incidents in your area. Please do keep us updated. 082-657-2729.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM. Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.